Welcome to Thinking Outside the Box with Gavin Rubinstein. Conversations between Gavin and the people he believes have trailblazed by thinking outside the box in their field, industry, or even just in his office.
Ladies and gentlemen, we have the most improved player in the whole of the real estate game. I can say that, can't I? Because that's what I feel and believe. And when I look at the landscape, and I'm not being biased, you to me are the most improved based on where you were at and where you're at now.
I'll take it.
Ladies and gentlemen, Zach Raben, welcome.
Pleasure to be here.
How you doing, brother?
Doing well.
What's been happening?
Not a whole lot, just keeping energy levels high, speaking to a lot of vendors, having good conversations.
You had a massive run, didn't you? I mean, you've just come off a massive run. Obviously, you had a break, you've had a vacation, so you're back, you're fresh, you're ready to go. But the reason I opened the conversation like that is because I genuinely believe it, right? I mean, obviously, I know where you started. I know where you're at today. But in addition to that, so many agents or people in the industry and owners and sellers and just people in the marketplace constantly bring your name up to me. You know, how unbelievably well is Zach Raben doing? How good that Zach's gone from this level to that level? I mean, from my perspective, you went from amateur to professional over the last 2 years. You made some conscious decisions in your business, which I really want to understand what they were. And I'm sure people listening want to understand what they were too, in order to make that shift. But let's start with your story. When did you start in real estate? What were you doing before?
So went to a private school in Queen's Park. So I'm a local boy.
Right.
Struggled, nearly got expelled half a dozen times. Battled through my way to an average ATAR, right. Went to university, got a business degree specializing in sport management.
Oh, so you got a degree?
I got a degree only because of pressure by my parents and society in general, because that's the thing to do.
It's interesting that, isn't it?
It is interesting.
Any regrets?
Massive.
Really? Okay, we're going to talk about that. Okay.
Didn't learn much, but is what it is. Still got the degree. Went into a family business I was working there since I was about 15 part-time, and then full-time after I graduated when I was about 23, 24.
Yeah. What's a family business?
We used to sell hospitality goods, knives, forks, pots and pans, started in the warehouse, account management,
so
sales.
Selling's kind of in
they
the blood.
Went into sales, business development, found a passion for sales through working there.
Yep.
Felt like I excelled and I just wanted to be around people, talking to people, going out and just selling products.
Yep.
So then when we left the family business due to unforeseeable and unfortunate circumstances, had to start from scratch at age 25.
Right.
Wanted to make a lot of money and stay in the area because I know nothing else. So thought, what's a way to avoid going back to university and, you know, make a fair income? So real estate came up a few times. My auntie was a real estate agent at one of the local Ray White offices in Bondi.
Yep.
She and my grandmother pushed it because they knew me quite well. And then, decided to give it a go.
It's funny that, I mean, like when you think about how many opportunities give you the ability to make an uncapped income or a large income without a tertiary education, real estate is kind of only option or one of your only options. It's kind of at the top, isn't it?
Absolutely.
So reading between the lines, you kind of fell into it for the wrong reasons, would you say?
100%. Yeah, I was lost. I had no other options, you know, it was just sink or swim and I put everything into it, I guess.
What was your first job? What were you doing? How did you get it? Run me through that.
Worked at a local Double Bay office under a principal.
Yep.
Was there for about 6 or 7 months. Didn't do any prospecting. Wasn't very productive, to be honest. So we parted ways.
Mm-hmm. And then from there?
Went to our local Ray White Double Bay office.
Yep.
Spent 3 years there with one of the associate directors.
Were you Double Bay for 3 years?
3 years, yeah.
Because I was there with you the whole time, right?
Correct.
Was that 3 years?
3 years. I think you guys left 6 months before I left. Maybe a year.
Time flies when you're having fun.
Correct. Had a really good boss there for what I needed at the time.
Yep.
I was micromanaged.
Right.
I was...
Why do you think you needed to be micromanaged at that time?
I was all over the place. Right. I had no direction. Yep. I needed structure. I needed someone who was very, you know, on top of me and held me accountable. And I fell into the right person.
And he did all of that.
Correct.
It's interesting. Interesting. Because, I mean, last year or in the last 12 months, Finnier, you have exchanged GCI $1.8 million. So it's funny how you've gone from being lost all over the place, needing to be micromanaged now only, 4 years ago, 5 years ago?
Correct.
To you being one of the leading agents around town.
Correct. I felt like it took me a while to learn and understand the aim of the game.
Yep.
So once I got it, I got it.
Yep.
And I do that in general. So onwards and upwards from there.
What do you think you changed in your business and in your life, right, that took you from that place when you needed to be micromanaged to today?
Sacrifice.
What sort of sacrifice? Because like, a lot of people throw that word around, they say sacrifice, but like what did you sacrifice? What was the sacrifice?
I'm a social person. I've got a lot of friends. I like to go out. I like to, you know, have some fun. And the sacrifice I'm talking is when there are temptations and I know I've got an important meeting, whether it be on a Saturday or a Sunday or a Monday, you have to make sacrifices in order to be game ready for those types of meetings.
So what you're saying is, you know, you like to party, you like to go out, but if you've got something you need to be mentally prepared for, you're going to put business first, and you started to put business first over that. That's the sacrifice?
Never used to, but now 100%, not even a question.
What else?
Routine.
Yep.
I'm big into my routine. I wake up at the same time every morning, about 4:45.
Yep.
Train.
Were you big into your routine back then?
Yes, I was, but I'm a lot more pedantic about it now. I need it. I probably miss 3 or 4 days a year of training before work. And when I do come into work, I feel like I'm not present, low energy.
Yep.
It's just not right.
And so before you were missing how many days? A lot more.
Yeah, a lot more.
Okay. So you applied sacrifice, you applied routine. What else?
My non-negotiables. I always come to work feeling 100%.
Yeah.
I'll never, you know, go out. I very rarely socialize during the week.
You're focused. You want to win.
I'm focused.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What drives you?
Freedom. Freedom is the main one. I don't ever want to worry about money.
Yep.
You know, we sell many properties for families in the later stages of their lives. And it's quite sad. They sell the properties because they can't afford to, you know, live their lifestyle that they want to live. And that's a simple lifestyle. So I just never want to have that issue. And I feel like now's the time where it's time to build. So that's my motivation.
And what was the biggest transition? Obviously, after Double Bay, you went to another firm, which you worked at for quite some time.
Yep.
You started to get some traction there.
So I was at JT Allen in Double Bay, more of a boutique type of agency, which was perfect for where I needed to be at that time.
Yeah.
Kind of fell out of love and lost my passion for real estate at the latter stages of my Ray White Double Bay career.
Yeah.
So I went to more of a boutique agency, had a boss who backed me, threw me in the deep end, said, you're ready to go out on your own after only about 6 months of being there.
Yep.
Where I didn't feel comfortable or confident in doing that.
Mm-hmm.
So did that and then started to make some waves in the market, started to make some big, small, medium sales. And, you know, they just flowed on from there.
Why'd you come to TRG?
You're relentless.
The people know that. The people know that. But why else did you come?
No, it was a good time in my life. It was just the right time in my life. I had a few personal things going on, just purchased a property, solid relationship. So just wanted to fast track where I wanted to be. And I felt like coming to the most high performance agency full of like-minded individuals was definitely the right move.
Yeah, because a high tide raises all boats, right?
Correct.
What was a conversation we had? I mean, day one, we spoke about a couple of things, you know, in terms of what we could build together. What were those things? What were those things we discussed?
I think you just wanted to build me as a person, build me as an agent, and then overall build a team around me that worked well with me just to build a long-term business.
Because at the time you came across, you came just by yourself.
I came with an associate, which I brought across.
But he didn't last long, right?
No. Gone in 60 seconds.
I think he's in the rap game now, isn't he? that guy's putting out hits. I like his work. I'm not going to lie. We should get him here for some entertainment. Okay, so you came across with an associate but didn't last long. What does the team look like today? How does it work? How does it move?
Team of three. I've got Hannah, who is EA/head of operations. She does everything for the business, non-dollar productive.
Yeah, she's awesome.
i.e. preparation of property, all the admin work, just the stuff that I'm not very good at.
I think you're a great leader. I think you really, again, from where I sit and I watch what everyone does high level, I think one of the great things about you outside of being a great lister and a great seller is you know how to put people in the right place and you know how to give them structure and you know how to get the best out of them, which is kind of ironic based on you telling me how your start in real estate went. There was an individual with an agent in this office working under him who now no longer works here, but for 6 months he produced nothing for that particular agent. And then when that agent had a couple of personal problems and ended up leaving, you took on his junior agent. The junior agent under your watch produced, I think, 300 grand GCI in the first 8 weeks of working under you. How'd you do that?
I feel like I'm a good man manager. I come from a sporting background where I was always in team sport. I genuinely care about my team. You know, it's not all about the money. It's just about building them as a person. I take a bit from every one of my past bosses mm-hmm. and I implement it into my own business. So I think it's just important to genuinely care. Like, I care for my team.
Yeah, but what I want to know is, because there are people listening to this who are banging their head on the wall saying, like, I just can't break the seal. I'm making the calls, I'm doing the work, but I just can't get the listings, whether they're a junior or a sales agent. You obviously gave this guy coaching and set him in a bit of a different direction to make him produce. What was that? What were you saying to him? What was your style? What did you need him to do? What did that look like? Give me a peek behind the curtain.
Everyone's different, right? So it's just understanding the different characters that are in the team and that you're dealing with. So he was rogue. He was all over the place. And I used that.
But listen, a lot of real estate agents are. Let's call a spade a spade.
100%. But yeah. I love that. He had high energy. He just lacked direction. So I made his tasks as simple as possible, i.e. created a list, say, call, get me into specific doors, and just, you know, made it really simple for him.
Do you miss him?
I do.
I miss him too. He left and he moved to London, huh?
Yeah, he's a good man. He often reaches out. We've got a good relationship.
He is such a good man. Are you going to continue to build your team from here? What does it look like?
Plan of action will be to hire another prospector, hopefully in the next month or two.
Right.
And then we'll just go from there.
What drives you today?
I want to be better. Every day I want to become better. I want to become more skilled. As I'm progressing in my career, I'm finding I'm getting a lot of wins over a lot more experienced agents.
Yep.
That's what drives me.
Yep.
I like to improve every day. I feel like the trajectory that I'm going is well beyond what I could have imagined.
Yep.
So I just want to see how far I can push myself.
Yeah, amazing. And what do you think you're going to have to change from here in order to do that? I mean, because it's about constantly making shifts, right? What shifts do you make from here? Because you've made a bunch of shifts. Your business has prospered majorly and now it's about taking it to the next level. You want to get better. What do they look like?
I'd say discipline. Discipline's one of them and consistency is another. I feel like I'm quite disciplined and consistent based on where I was 1, 2, and 3 years ago.
Yep.
But as time is progressing, you know, I just want to become better and more focused on those things.
You just want to continually evolve.
Correct.
Before you came to TRG, what sort of numbers were you doing a year, GCI?
I'd say I was around 400K GCI.
One of the first months you came here, you did that in a month.
So I came and the first month, it was September 21.
Yeah.
The first month I sold one property.
Yeah.
It was a conjunction, still hasn't settled. It was 20.
Bondi Junction.
Yeah, Bondi Junction. Yeah. Bellevue Hill.
Sorry.
It was 24K commission.
Yep.
And you sat me down. You said, I like your attitude. You showed me the other agents' results. They were 180K for the month, 200K, 220 and 280K. And I just looked at you and I was just like, have I made the wrong decision? But instead, I took that as a challenge. And the next month, I ended up selling 7 properties and did 382K. And that's when I knew that I belonged here. And that's when I knew that we can make it work. I just needed to back myself.
That's crazy. So what went through your mind? I mean, how do you, like, there had to have been some sort of science behind that result, right? What was it? It was just, like we said earlier on, I guess a high tide raises all boats. Were you just feeling the pressure of, I'm now in an environment where I have to perform and I can't fall short and I'm going to do the extra work and have the extra focus? Or what was going through your head?
Well, it's a sink or swim type environment, I felt. And I didn't have much competition internally at the past agency, only because it was myself and the director.
Sure.
So one of the reasons why I came was to compete internally with some of the best agents in the industry.
Yeah.
And I knew after 1 month that, you know, it was everything that I expected, but a lot more hectic. So.
What do you mean a lot more hectic? Explain that.
Well, the numbers that the boys were writing in the office were just something
bigger than you thought. Yeah.
I've never experienced anything like it. And they were in the same position as myself. So you don't want to be the schlepper, as we call them.
Yeah.
So in order to catch up to them, obviously I needed to put my head down and make it work.
Well, last year you were the second highest writer in the office.
Correct.
Pretty good story. I want to know what else you've done. I feel like there's stuff you're not telling me in the last 12 months to get that result. Run me through your typical week. Run me through your ideal day. I want to know what it is that you do. Because like you say, we have some of the best agents, you know, in the country here. And there's 8 different teams to come second out of that bunch is no mean feat. What are you doing every single day? What's your secret? What makes Zach Rabin as good as he is?
I wish I could give you my hidden gem, but It's very simple. I'm a simple person. I just come in. When I get into the office at 8:30, I'm enthused. I'm energized. It's just go, go, go. We've got a lot of structure in the team. My sole role at the moment and has been since Hannah's come on board is just to bring in new business, vendor, buyer management. I love to spend time prospecting and getting new business. I feel like a lot of the more experienced agents don't prospect.
Yeah.
You know, I spend probably half the day every day minimum prospecting for new business.
You always prospect. I see you always on the phone prospecting.
I love prospecting. Yeah. And I built my career through cold calling, you know, but as time has progressed, I'm a bit more time poor. And so I've been focusing more on just nurturing.
Warm calls, tasks, not
correct.
Tasks.
Correct. So I come in and I've got a CRM, come in and I've got 30, 40, 50 tasks a day, which I instantly get anxiety over. So I just pound the phones and get that done. And once that's done, then I can focus on my next role. But by the time it's midday, I've already smashed out minimum 30, 40 calls. So I think it's a really simple system, but a lot of agents don't do it.
What do you do for fun?
Outside of work?
Yeah. Is there an outside of work?
Yes or no. I mean, we're always on, right? So outside of work would be 3 o'clock plus on a Saturday. What I like to do for fun, I like to be outdoors. I like to be with friends. I don't really like to talk about real estate on my downtime. It's just like a known thing. Just don't talk about real estate.
Yeah.
But at the same time, you know, the phone's always on and the phone's always ringing, always text messages. So we're always on. But what I like to do for fun, I like to have a night out here and there, let some steam out.
Why do you let steam out, brother?
I'm
kidding, I'm kidding.
Our job's hectic. It's a lot. It's crazy, very intense. So it's just good to sometimes forget about it and just have a bit of fun.
What do you find the most challenging and what do you love most about it?
I love that every day is a new day and you can never, ever predict what's going to come. You know, you'll come in, be really enthused, and then you'll just get smashed.
Yeah.
Like I came in.
That never changed.
The second day after our few weeks off and I lost $36 million of listings in 4 calls back to back to back to back of just you missed
losing.
Out
yeah,
of
we've
losing
all been there. We've all been
and
there.
That was, you know, almost rock bottom. And then an hour later we pitched on a big property in Dover Heights and we ended up winning it. So it's a very bipolar type of industry where you can be really up 1 second and then really down and vice versa. So
it's like an emotional roller coaster. What do you do to manage it? Your mindset I'm talking about now, right? Because we all know how to win listings. Of course, we all know how to lose listings. Is there anything you do in particular to help manage that up and down?
I was very heavily disciplined at school, so I don't really get down when I get rejected.
Yeah.
That doesn't bother me at all. More so, I take it as a learning curve. What do? I just get back on the phones. I see it as a loss. I take a lesson out of it, at least one lesson.
Is there a lesson from every loss?
Absolutely.
You
have
think?
To take it. Yeah. Every loss.
So you'll ask the question to the owner, if you don't get it, why didn't you appoint me?
Always. With respect, I say, absolutely no problem. You're in great hands. Do you mind me asking just for my own personal growth, why did you choose the other agent? And I just go from there.
I hear lots of different views on that. Like personally, I never asked that, right? And everyone's different. And I know a bunch of people who are top level who always ask the question, but I think always be learning. I just feel that everyone, when they're appointing an agent, has such a different or broad list for criteria and what that looks like. And I just think, don't take it personally, kind of move on to the next. Like you do, just hit the phones, find something that builds your energy or helps you get over it and just focus on that.
Correct.
What do you hate most about it?
About rejection.
About real estate.
That you always have to be on.
You don't like that?
No.
Because you are always on. Anytime I call you, you pick up the phone. You called me. It was Sunday last night at 7 o'clock. You called me. You're always on.
I'm always on.
But you hate that you have to be always on?
I struggle to be present and I feel like it definitely affects my personal life. And whether it's about, you know, spending time with family or friends, you know, I'll be having quality time or relationships and then I'll get a text message or then I get a call and I just have to walk outside. So there's definitely pros and cons. I definitely hate that part of it. But 5 years ago when I was getting into the industry, I was dreaming of people calling me at all hours of the night. All hours of the day. So, you know, it's a blessing and a curse. I take it as a blessing, but it definitely does affect.
Take its toll.
Correct.
Amazing. What's the plan for the future, man? What can we commit to right here on the podcast that we can watch out for? Because you got a pretty good ranking in terms of the Ray White. Even though we're not a Ray White office, we still are part of that recognition process because you love the competition. I think we all love the competition. We still wanted to be plugged in, compete with 15,000 agents nationally. Where do you want to place eventually?
I want to be top 10 in the network, salespeople this coming year.
Right.
I think I just missed out by 2 spots last year.
Yeah.
Which 12 months ago I would have been very happy with, but given it was so close, definitely want to be in the top 10.
Yeah.
I want to continue to build my team. I want my associates to improve. I'd love to build an agent to eventually step out on their own and watch them succeed. I felt like in my old employment, I was somewhat held back, and I would love nothing more than to, you know, see someone in my team grow into another top 10 agent.
What held you back?
I think agents, when they have associates, tend to want to keep the associates forever. As opposed to, you know, one thing I've noticed when I've come to TRG, you've always wanted to fast track your associates and other associates in the office to become standalone agents.
Yeah.
If you're a standalone agent within someone's team, the associate director or the leader is still financially benefiting from their success.
Sure.
There comes a point where I feel like you've learned your trade, you should go out on your own, and you should get 100% of the pie that you deserve.
Yeah, I see that a lot in the industry, whether it's juniors or even sometimes agents working under directors. It's almost kind of ego-driven.
Absolutely. There's a sense of entitlement that, you know, they taught you so much that you must stay committed to them forever, which just isn't.
It's not practical.
It's not reality.
Because people evolve, people change,
correct.
And so you're pretty focused on growing guys, building them up to go do their own thing, and you're happy to replenish your...
Correct. I want to build an agent in my team that just comes in, doesn't ask me any questions. I'll assist if they need assistance in listing and selling to the point that they feel confident enough to do that themselves.
Yeah.
And then they're on their way.
So are you looking for something? If anyone's listening to this and they want a job with Mr. Rabin, are you looking at meeting people or?
I'd love a prospector that loves the phone.
Right. So if you love hitting the phones and you think you got what it takes to join this great man's team, get in touch with him, zrtrgre.com.au.
Ideally, at least 6 months experience, please. I'm patient, but not that patient.
Why experience? Because both of my associates who are the top two producing associates in the office, I think they have been for the last 2 years, both didn't have experience. So what is experience important to you and why?
A lot of associates don't know what they're getting themselves into. If you have no experience, you don't know the reality of what it takes to become a successful agent. You might pitch well in an interview and say you really want it, but a lot of the new kids coming up think that it's just flashy cars.
New kids on the block.
Yeah, it's flashy cars, nice watches, 100%, but that's 1%, if that,
of what we do.
Of what we do in our reality. So I'd like someone who ideally understands what it takes and is willing to make the sacrifices that are necessary.
What would you say your top three biggest strengths are? Like if you had to chunk it down and say, these top three attributes make me the practitioner I am, what are they?
I feel like I'm very personable. I feel like I can get on with anyone from any demographic, whether it's a $1 million property, $5 million or a $50 million. I treat everyone the same. So I feel like I can get on very well with 100% of the vendors in front of me.
Yep.
Energy. I feel like I'm very energetic and enthusiastic. Yeah. So when someone is wanting to sell their property,
you're going to go harder than the others.
I'm going to go so hard. If I'm going to lose it, I'm going to lose it because, you know, I don't have the track record or it's not the area that I specialize in.
Yeah.
It's not going to be because I don't want the property, because I definitely do want the property.
Yeah.
And the third one, I care. Like I truly care about my vendors. You know, I don't take it as though it's just another commission. Many times I have had offer and acceptance on a property and I've actually spoken to my vendor when they've said, let's exchange and said, suggested, let's wait another week as I believe that there might be an extra $10,000, $20,000, $30,000 because I know it means so much to them.
Yep.
Where, you know, a usual agent or a normal agent would just say, sell it onto the next, where if I do believe that there is a few extra dollars in it, I'll slow down the process and make sure that they get it. And I'm getting so many call-in and repeats and referrals because vendors, they're seeing that. They're seeing and understanding that I genuinely care. So
yeah, so where most agents can say, accept the offer, let's just sell it, you're looking to squeeze the lemon dry.
I challenge them.
Yeah, and it's obviously paying off for you.
Yeah, it's been good.
What advice would you have for juniors? You say a lot of the young guys kind of have this misconception of what the industry is and they come in quick and we know weakness here always finds its way to the door and pretty quickly. In fact, no one who has been a very good agent or a very good associate has ever left here since we opened. No one that I can think of. People that have left, whether young or old, have kind of found their way to the door because they haven't been able to hack it, almost because of what you say, right? They think it's going to be easy, and then they see what it's about or what we're about, and they kind of get drowned by that whole process. What would you tell them?
It's a lifestyle. I mean, real estate in general, it's not just a job. It's a genuine lifestyle.
If you want a 9-to-5, it's not for you.
I struggled to come to terms with that. It took me numerous years to come to terms with it. I dreamt of a 9-to-5 where 5:01 hits and I can just be a normal human being. Whereas it's a lifestyle. It's, you know, every day you're living, you're breathing, it's real estate. You have random people coming up the street. How's the market? Asking questions. Mm. You go out to the pub to watch the football. You just want to hang with a mate, and it's just nonstop. We're in an environment where everyone wants their colleagues to succeed and to improve. And it's an amazing office where we have five of the top, probably 10 or 20 agents in the Ray White network working within a 2-meter radius of you. So if you ever need any assistance, you've got top performers.
So what you're saying is that not only for this office, but in general, surround yourself with top performers, right?
You can't fail.
Yeah.
If you're in this type of environment, you just can't fail.
Yeah. So find an office or an environment where people can bring the best out of you.
Correct.
And what would you say to agents who are doing 400 and they want to get to 1.8? Make the transition you made. Like, so you talk about, you know, you made changes in terms of structure, in terms of routine, in terms of prospecting. Is that it? Is it that? Because it sounds, when you say it, pretty simple. It sounds pretty effortless, but I see the effort you put in on a day-to-day. I know it's not. Is there any more color you can?
I mean, I thrive off energy, right? I've mentioned that a few times, but you come into the office and it's not just my team. I mean, I sit next to Kai's team, close to, you know, Ollie's team, your team, and everyone's energetic. Everyone's enthusiastic. You come in, I know everyone's got their own team WhatsApps and everyone's WhatsApping before 5 a.m. Our team are Whatsapping consistently before 5 a.m. just to say, is everyone up? Is everyone at gym? Encouraging each other. Everyone wants each other to succeed and improve, and people are held accountable. But that's the way that,
yeah,
for me personally, that I grow.
Yeah, I love that. So next year, we want to see you top 10, Ray White. We made a commitment here and now. Are you sure you're not top 10 this year? I mean, the blackout period, could you have maybe got in just or impossible?
I think I was number 12 before the blackout period. And I don't think I settled too much in between that time, so probably not.
Okay, cool. So let's focus on it next year. But appreciate everything you do, watching you prosper. We want to continue to see that grow. I will be watching you with excitement, and thanks for coming.
Appreciate the support.
Thank you for listening to Thinking Outside the Box with Gavin Rubinstein. Subscribe now for future episodes.